some Christmas fucking horror flicks. This is the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Beasts, blood, and boobs, and lots of Christmas slashing. Sits in LD's fucking Christmas slaycation. Oh, holy fuck, we're reviewing 12 fucking movies, some good, some bad. Just listen to us rant. Gore, guts, and kills, and lots of Christmas thrills. Oh, holy fucking shit, let's start the fucking show.
Remember those idyllic scenes out of your childhood? Crisp winter nights, star bright, sleigh bells crackling Yule logs, candlelight glistening off of shimmering Christmas trees, chestnuts roasting over open fires, carolers beneath snow-covered window ledges. Remember those? Remember them well. After Black Christmas, they'll never be the same again. Black Christmas, starring Olivia Hussey, Keir Dulley, Margot Kidder, and starring John Saxon as Lieutenant Fuller. If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight.
SJ, well, what did you think about that tagline? If this movie doesn't make your skin crawl, it's on too tight. What'd you think about that?
Well, I think, what the fuck does that mean, first off, but... I mean, it's one of those great taglines that they used to use in movies. It reminds me of Last House on the Left, that trailer. If you think you're going to faint, just keep repeating to yourself, it's only a movie. It's only a movie. No, what the fuck? If you're
and it's only... NLD's Christmas Slaycation. That's right. Day three in the 12 days of Christmas, I guess you could say, NLD style. NLD's Christmas Slaycation. Yes, it's a playoff of Christmas Vacation, which is a great flick. Not horror, but a great flick.
Depending on how you feel about your in-laws and relatives, it could be considered
could
a horror.
It could be very, very, very horror
horror-centric.
So, yeah, as most people already figured out, we're talking the 1974 Bob Clark masterpiece, Black Christmas.
You mean the same Bob Clark that brought us the great Christmas Story from 1983?
You better bet your eye you don't shoot it out. I don't know what I was trying to say.
I don't know what that means either, but I guess your skin's on too tight or some shit.
Maybe it is, because it's not crawling. That's right, SJ. The same fucking Bob Clark that brought us the Christmas, probably, it's reached tradition, I think, through households across America at this time of year. As we were talking before the old record button got hit, and you're down there in Georgia, and TBS, the home of TBS, I'm pretty sure. I think it was Christmas Eve. They played the 24 hours of A Christmas Story. Yes, that fucking Bob Clark brought us about 9 years prior brought us, I wouldn't even call it a Christmas classic, more like a Christmas tragedy.
Right.
In Black Christmas. Why don't you start off? We both watched it earlier. You had a hard time, you say, getting through this one. I actually put myself through it probably about 3 or 4 times in the past few days, because it was really kind of so bad that I really couldn't get enough of it. Let me just start with your opinion, SJ. Bob Clark's Black Christmas.
Oh, my God. This one is, like you said, it's a hard one to get through. I soldiered through. I watched it all the way through the first time. Had to pause it a few times just to give myself a break from the movies. It was one of those movies.
It hurts your head.
It kind of does. And as much as it is a Christmas horror movie, I feel like it doesn't really. It's just one of those movies that happens to be set during Christmas. There's not too much actual Christmas in the movie. It's just it's the story of a killer who, for the most part, we never see. And
we do know him as Billy, though, right?
Something like Billy, I guess, but
I don't know.
Did they refer to him as Billy? Because
going through and listening, because I do like to go through and listen to like some of the funniest lines and moments of certain movies, whether they're supposed to be funny or not. And I came across Billy's, you know, crank calls or something of that nature. So I'm just assuming maybe these people they named the killer Billy. It seems kind of obvious who it might be. But you're right. They never you end the movie and walk away from the movie not even knowing who the fuck the killer is.
Right. And you know, that might be one of the only good things I could say about the flick is that, you know, it doesn't reveal the monster. It doesn't tell you, you know, who the killer is, but that could also be seen as a letdown, like, well, fuck, you didn't even resolve anything by the end of the movie. This guy is just still out there slashing, which I guess makes for, you know, maybe it was supposed to be a sequel bait kind of thing, like open-ended ending.
Thank God it wasn't.
God damn, seriously. You know, maybe it was Ralphie the whole time.
It was Ralphie. It was, and then, you know, they had to go back, and he made it. So A Christmas Story, what you're saying, could possibly be a prequel to Black Christmas, because remember, A Christmas Story was set in like the mid to late 40s.
Right. Exactly.
It's all maybe making it's a prequel. Sense.
It's all coming together now.
Man, we're connecting dots here on the Slaycation, brother.
And it, you know, what were your thoughts on the connection between this movie and the old Babysitter and the Man Upstairs urban legend, and also the movie When a Stranger Calls? Isn't that what it is? When a Stranger Calls?
Yes. And that's exactly what this reminded me of, is a Christmas version of that set in a sorority.
Which is never a safe place to be in a horror flick. A fucking sorority house is probably the worst place you could be.
Exactly, right. So, I mean, it, even though When a Stranger Calls, I believe, came out in later in the 70s, possibly maybe, you know, the early 80s, I can't remember exactly, but it did come out after 74 or so, but it did. It you know, reminded me a lot of When a Stranger Calls. And as far as the whole babysitter thing, there's some, you know, some that say that, I don't know if John Carpenter said this, but there are some that say that, you know, Halloween was inspired by this fucking piece of trash. And I can kind of see it. I've looked at it. At first I was like, come on, man. Halloween is obviously, you know, a masterpiece. Right. It's what John Carpenter could begin to hang his hat on at that time. I don't think he knew what it was going to be. But anyway, so it was kind of hard for me to, you know, think that, you know, a masterpiece, a horror classic like Halloween, the original, of course, in 78, which came out 4 years after this, if you're not good at math.
I'm not.
Okay, well, I'm glad I could help. You know, but I can see the similarities, okay? For one, I believe Halloween's original title was supposed to be something like The Babysitter Killers. Or, yeah, or Killings or something like The
Babysitter Murders.
Murders or something, yes.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, as we all know, they eventually went to the title of Halloween, which is right. something that a lot of people say Carpenter got from this, because now we're going back to, you know, 74. I don't think there was a whole lot of holiday-inspired or named horror movies back then.
So, no, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing a whole lot. Remember hearing. I was like two when this movie came out. But, so there are some you know, similarities. The fact that one of the, like you mentioned, one of the first, you know, working titles that they were going to use before Black Christmas was, what, the Babysitter in the House or some shit like that, right?
Well, according to IMDb here, I've got it pulled up, of course, right now, the screenplay was titled Stop Me. Somebody stop me.
Stop me. I'm smoking.
Based on The Babysitter and The Man Upstairs urban legend. So I guess the urban legend kind of has that that title, the Babysitter and The Man Upstairs. And as you brought up, there was supposed to come out under another title, right?
Yes, it was Black Christmas. That title was released on October 11, 74 in Canada, because this is a Canadian film, and December 20th in the U.S., but it was under the title Silent Night, Evil Night.
That's right. And why don't you explain to all the listeners why they didn't go with that title?
Well, there was, I believe there were some, you know, other movies that, you know, I don't know if it was in the making. Is that what it is? You kind of called me off guard.
It's okay. Well, that's what I'm here to do, man. Right. They didn't want to release it under the title Black Christmas originally because they thought that, you know, this was 1974. They thought people might think it was a blaxploitation movie.
Ah, that's it, yes.
Just, you know, based on the title alone, which is, you know, it's hilarious, but it's a sign of what was going on in the movies back then, in the early 70s.
Which wasn't, but yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of good coming at all.
No, there wasn't. I mean, there's some gems, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yes, there are. You know, in the 70s, yeah, there were gems out there, but this is not one of them.
Right, it is not. I agree. But also, when it premiered on television, there's a whole story there,
yes,
that has a Ted Bundy connection, which is pretty also, you know, kind of a thing from that time, that era. It caused some controversy when it premiered on television, didn't it?
It certainly did. It was supposed to be one of those network premieres, and back in the, you know, mid to late 70s, NBC did this thing where it was a like Saturday night movies. I think a lot of, you know, the horror fans that, you know, close to my age or at least would maybe remember they did Friday Fright Night or something like that, where they would play back to back. It was like a double header of horror movies, and they do it on Friday. And this was kind of the, you know, the same thing, but I don't think it was horror based. But and anyway, 2 weeks prior to the network premiere of Black Christmas, again under the title Stranger in the House, we had a very interesting couple, you know, co-ed murders that were going around. Well, not just a couple. There were some sorority murders where a gentleman gets into a sorority.
Don't you dare call him a gentleman. A motherfucker gets into a sorority house.
He acted like a gentleman, though. I mean, maybe not then, but that's how he played and tried to play himself off. He, you know, attacks, you know, a handful of sorority girls, beating them to death in their bed. This son of a bitch was named Theodore Bundy.
Theodore.
Theodore.
Sounds like one of the fucking chipmunks.
It is one of the chipmunks, man.
It is.
But yeah, so they decided, hey, there was some contacts being made. Florida's then governor, Ruben Askew, he gets a hold of NBC president and says, look, this shit is way too close to what we've just seen. You know,
too soon, man.
Yeah, it's one of those is it too soon type things, and it was because the Bundy murders at the sorority happened down at Florida State University, and so yeah, it was a little too soon. So they said, look, with their affiliates in Florida, Georgia, and Alabama, they gave them the option, like, hey, okay. Here's what we can do. We're taking this off. You're not going to be, but you can watch Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze.
It might have been a better movie. I haven't seen that flick.
It could have been. I'm going to, if I was a betting man, I'd probably put my chips on Doc Savage, Man of Bronze.
I don't know. I think I'd just hold on that round. Not bet on anything because both
with a title like that, yeah. I mean, how fucking good can it be?
I'll hold my chips.
But yeah, so I mean, some early controversy. Just 4 years after they were gonna, you know, after its release, they decided to put it on TV. It didn't work out very well. And let's dive into some of the awesome, awesome acting.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. The acting, oh, it's so bad. It's so bad. But we got some really good lines out of there, too, though.
Yes, Lois Lane was in that.
Lois Lane and also, oh, God, what's her name? She played Audra in the original It miniseries.
Yes, she also played Norman Bates' mother.
Oh, right.
Yeah. When they show young Norman, I think it was in 3, where they show, how she died when he poisoned her tea and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yep.
And also Margot Kidder.
Who, again, Lois Lane, yes.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yep, that was Lois Lane.
I'm a little too young to know all the names from the original.
Too young to know Superman?
The 70s Superman movies. Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that, guys. Take away some nerd points from me for that.
Yeah, we won't do that. But yes, not too many actually other real familiar faces out of this. It was pretty much a cast of nobodies.
Yeah, which you would expect from it seems like this is one of Bob Clark's earlier movies. I don't know how many he had done before this. I'll try to look that up here now, but
I don't either. Yeah, but it wasn't some of his best work.
No, definitely not.
I mean, I'm not a filmmaker or anything, but it's entertaining, but it's not bad enough because there are, you know, kind of bad movies out there that, you know, you can watch and be like, oh yeah, I liked the movie even though it was horrible.
Right.
This is not like one of those.
No, it's not. This is not a Night Killer. Night Killer is one of those ones that's so dreadfully bad that it's fun to watch.
So this stranger, who we don't even know, as we mentioned, who this is, in the very beginning of the movie, he has, as you mentioned, you told me, a 1974 GoPro camera on.
That's right. I'm kind of
climbing up like the lattice on the side of, you know, this sorority house, climbs in and apparently, you know, just lives in this fucking attic the whole movie. Yep. And here's my question, SJ. Now, I'm just curious, you know, how many different lines is this killer calling? He's calling from inside this sorority house. Is he calling from apparently another number? Because he keeps calling this one main phone the whole time.
Yeah, well, I think there's a scene, if I remember correctly, and I was trying my best to stay invested in the movie when I was watching it.
He was in one of the girls' rooms.
Right, but from my recollection, there were, I think, when the cops were coming in to tap to bug the phones in the sorority house, they're like, well, there's two phone lines in the house, which is becomes kind of a plot hole later on. You know what I mean? Like, there's two lines. You didn't put one and one together and figure out that it could be somebody stowing away in this house and calling from the other line.
And why I think there were two lines. Did they not they didn't tap both phones. They only tapped the one, right?
I think so. I don't know how that works. I don't know how phone tapping works. If you tap
but
the main line.
But if you have two different lines,
tap both lines,
you have to tap both lines because, you know, I would think. I don't know.
Well, it was a simpler time, so I'm sure audiences weren't like, oh, shit, they didn't tap both lines back in 1974.
Yeah, I know, but we are now, man, because, you know, fuck. But anyway, and then because you got a guy running through the phone company, like, all of these, you know, it's like a supercomputer building or whatever, and he's running through all these aisles, and he's finding out where, you know, this call is coming from. It was just like caveman shit.
It was really cheesy too. I thought it was, you know, there were some shots, especially in that I guess in the telephone
company, yeah,
in the operating room of the telephone company,
yes,
where they're kind of going through the stacks, so to speak, and doing these sweeping shots as the guy's walking back and forth between these stacks of, I don't know, phone lines or whatever. I saw that the director was going for like a really cool shot there. Just none of it comes across as coherent. I would call this movie tone deaf. It can't figure out whether it's straight up horror or a mystery movie or a Christmas. It really has nothing to do with Christmas. Like I said before, it's just kind of set during the holidays.
Personally,
it's all
SJ,
over the place.
I think it has more to do with Christmas than it does horror. I think to me, it's more of a drama, psychological thriller type deal.
Okay, I can see that. At least that's what they were going for. I don't know if it comes across that way in the final film, but like you said, I want to go back to something you said earlier about the 1974 GoPro. It's true, man. When the movie starts out from a point of view perspective, you know, the killer's point of view. And I don't know how they got those shots, because he climbs up the trellis, you know, and it's all from his. It's almost like he really has a GoPro strapped to his head. Like, I don't know how they did that. Like, Easy Rig wasn't a thing back in the 70s. So did they duct tape a little camcorder onto his head for these shots? Like, how did they pull that off? Like, that's probably the most impressive thing about the whole movie to me. How they pulled that off.
And the funny thing is they take, and there's a shot as he's climbing up. It's almost like you're playing a video game. You're like climbing up, and you know, you see the ladder or whatever, you're climbing up, and then all of a sudden his head looks up to the top, you know.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a, you know, a video game, but that is strange. I mean, hey, you could apparently do a lot with little technology back then. Still sucked.
Still sucked my juicy cock.
Man.
Sorry, that's
alluding. Some listeners, maybe, you know, if they have not watched this, they may be thinking, man, SJ just went all X-rated on us. No, this movie does it for you. In the beginning there, you know, when you start to realize, hey, and again, it's kind of implied. There's no real backstory to the killer. There's no real, you know, backstory as far as where have these, you know, mysterious phone calls been coming, you know, in for quite some time. That's not mentioned. It's just kind of implied because all of a sudden, you know, the, what was her name? She's really the, you know.
Jess.
Jess, yes. Jess, yes. See, I rhyme yes, too. Yes. And, you know, she the phone rings, she picks it up, and she yells, "It's him again." And that's when you know that, well, this has happened before. And you start hearing shit like, "Hey, you pretty, pretty pink cunt. You're pretty, I want to lick your pretty pink cunt." I swear, that's probably a pretty good impersonation.
That was fucking great.
And that's honestly, you know, what you
juicy
hear.
Cock.
And here comes Margot Kidder's, you know, her name was what? Claire? Was it Claire? No, Claire was she was the one that got suffocated by the fucking
she's the first kill in the movie. It's actually a dress bag.
Oh, is that what? Oh, that is what it was. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But Margot Kidder, her character is pretty much drunk the entire movie.
Oh my God! Yeah, there's so much booze hidden around the sorority house. I mean, there's booze in the toilet tank. There's a fucking a book. With
thanks
a,
to the drunk Mrs. Garrett,
right? Who's great? She might be the best character in the whole movie.
She is mine. B is for booze.
Oh, fuck, man. When she was looking for the cat, what was the cat's name?
Oh, I can't remember the cat's name.
Let's just call it Peanuts or something, because it doesn't really fucking matter. But the father is there looking for his daughter.
Right.
And she's calling the cat like, "Come here, you little cunt."
Yeah,
and
right.
And looks over.
It made me wait as she dumped her purse down the steps and shit.
Oh, man.
It's gone. Man. So, bottom line, it ends. You have no idea who the fucking killer is. You think you got a pretty good idea. I want to talk just for a minute before we give skulls. I want to talk a little bit about the kills in this, because one thing that horror, you know, fans, movie fans love, and that's the kills in it. This movie did not have that many kills. Total kills for this movie, I believe, is about 7.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the kills, and what was your favorite?
Lame. I thought they were all lame. I think if I had to give a favorite kill for this movie, it'd be the very first one with the dress bag. And because they actually, I don't know if it was a stunt head that they used for that, or if it was actually the actress just with a bag wrapped around her head. But they kept cutting back to that because, you know, her body for the entirety of the movie is upstairs in the attic. And they keep cutting back to it.
That point of view thing when her father's there looking for her and takes drunk Mrs. Garrett, you know, drops her off somewhere, gives her a ride, and it draws back, and all of a sudden you got the profile of the, you know, the girl in the bag, and it's you know peering through the attic window. And that was probably some of the best shots of the movie, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, maybe. It's just, it's funny to me that they never, during this whole investigation, they never went up there.
Ever.
They never went up. It's like, what? The shittiest police work of all time. You searched the entire place except for one room, the attic. And if you had just gone up there, you would have found the killer and all the bodies and everything. Like, it's just fucking ridiculous.
And I have to go back and take something back. I apologize. There is another there that I think probably one of the best well-known actors in this movie is the one John Saxon who who played in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right, he played a very similar character.
Yes, he has played cops in numerous movies and does a very, very good job. Now, this is a very young John Saxon, but regardless, he plays that police chief, that cop, character very, very well.
I think so. My favorite part with John Saxon in the movie is when it's towards the beginning. You remember the fellatio scene?
The fellatio, yes. It's a new exchange, F.E.
Right. That was Barb, right? Barb's character?
Barb, yes. That was around. Margot Kidder's character, Barb.
Fucking around with the deputy or whatever.
Oh, Barb. Boozehound Barb.
Boozehound Barb, that's right. But what about you? Did you have any standout kills in this movie that you thought were great? Because really aren't that many.
There aren't. I mean, again, you only have 7 kills is the total kill count for this movie. So, and a lot of them you don't even see happen.
Yeah, one of them happens off screen completely.
Yes. So. And when the drunk Mrs. Garrett gets the hook on the pulley.
Mm.
You don't see exactly what it did to her until later, until she shows up and you see that it got her. If that would have been, I think, a little more, if you could have showed maybe a little something, mm-hmm. come on. That's all more. They had back then really was practical effects. They didn't have CGI shit, they couldn't, do any of that. So, little bit better practical effects with that particular kill, because that could have been really good. But aside from that one, I guess if I, again, like you, there wasn't very many good kills in this at all. But if I was to pick one, I would go with, what was it, the Nutcracker soldier to the eye?
Yeah, the clear glass Christmas figurine to the eye.
Yes, then he just, throws an axe in a couple people's heads.
Yeah, those are better than the.
Wait a
the
minute,
dress,
that's not even
kill.
The right damn movie.
Wait, no, the glass figurine killing is in.
Oh, the glass. Christmas. Yeah, yeah. No, but what I just mentioned wasn't even the same movie.
No, I didn't even hear what you said. I don't pay attention that much to you.
It shows, and thank goodness. So, ixnay everything I just say. I don't know how to speak that pig Latin shit.
But Fei Uye.
I know what that meant. Anyway, yes, the killing, and that's when you start to realize, you start to think, oh, is this? I think I know who the killer is. When you see that, because there's a little dramatic scene where the acting shines out. Let me tell you something. You ain't getting no abortion. You ain't having. Oh, what did he say? You ain't getting no abortion. Don't you tell me what to do.
Right. Yeah, that guy was definitely set up to be the boyfriend. What was his name? Peter or something?
Peter, I think. Yes, yes.
Yeah, they were. The movie was totally setting us all up to think that he is the killer, but that kind of goes out the window later on in the movie, so. We never find out who this guy is.
Never
see him, except for the point of view shots and his hands, and you see him in silhouette sometimes. See a shadow.
You see his
on the
eye.
Wall. Yeah, you see his eye in one, almost like a shining moment in the movie. You see his eye through a crack in the door or something like that. But this movie's a fucking mess.
It is. This movie is so bad. This is one of those movies, and I'm normally an original, type guy. When a remake comes out, I normally sway towards the original. The remake of Black Christmas just came out a couple days ago, Friday the 13th. And watching the trailer, I'm more excited to see that than I am... You know, that then I thought that I probably would be. But when you watch this movie, if you do, mind you, you don't get that time back.
No, you don't.
You can't get a refund on that. So watch it at your own discretion. we're going to start with SJ. How many skulls are you giving this this masterpiece?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, speaking of the 2019 remake, it currently holds, I don't have Rotten Tomatoes pulled up right now, but it's got something like 20%. And I think the original is oddly high because this is kind of a cult. It's become a cult classic, yes, probably because of the cheesiness of it all and the fact that it's a Bob Clark movie.
Right.
But this movie, man, it's hard to give a skull to a movie that I really didn't have any fun watching. And regardless of my skull rating, I do not recommend that you check this movie out. That's why we're here. This is a public service podcast. Yes. We watch the shitty movies so that you don't have to.
You don't have to. Exactly. Unless you are into self-loathing like we are.
Right. So I guess I'll give it a little bit of pointage for that 70s GoPro thing and just some of the funny moments in there, like when the killer calls for the very first time and all the girls gather around. Yeah. It's almost like a speakerphone. Like how does everybody hear what's coming out of the receiver? You know what I'm saying? It's a fucking rotary phone and right. Everybody's gathered around it like they can hear it. That kind of shit makes me laugh. It's great. It's a period piece. Not too Christmassy, not too horror. Just, it's like I said before, tone deaf. So I'm going to give this one half of one skull. That's right. Half a fucking skull for Black Christmas 1974. Yeah, fuck this movie.
I'm not going much better than you, sir. There's not much more I can add to it. You said it perfectly. It is a, it's a timepiece. It was set in a certain time. The acting apparently wasn't, you know, good at that time. There wasn't a whole. If you're trying to make a cheap horror movie, you didn't have much to choose from. It was funny. I did like the drunk Mrs. Garrett. She brought humor, you know, and laughter to my life. Pulling, she had a bottle of whatever she was drinking. It was a dark liquor everywhere in books, in the bag, in the tank of
she
a
had
toilet.
The old...
She in her suitcase. I mean, everywhere. And then the girls are like, you know, when John Saxon's character comes, well, you know, what is this? Oh, we had a little bit of a party last night. Well, does she engage in this? Does she drink a lot? Oh, no, she hardly drinks at all. Every other scene, you're watching this bitch pull a fucking bottle out of the toilet, out of a book cut out, like it's a cartoon or something. Given that, you know, and I kind of dig this 1974 GoPro thing that they had going on there, the POV shots, which again was, they said, you know, that was kind of, you know, a first. You know, we've seen that same thing in Halloween. Given those two things alone, I'm going to 0.75. Three quarters of a skull.
Damn, that's high, man.
That is kind of high, and I bounced this around in my head, you know, a little bit, and that's just what I came up with. So half a skull for SJ, three quarters of a skull for your.
I want to end this whole thing by saying one statement. If you're gonna watch a horror movie from 1974, just watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Fuck all the nonsense. Fuck Black Christmas. I can't think of any other great ones that came out that year, but Jesus. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I know it's not Christmas. Go watch it right now instead of Black Christmas.
It'll seem like a gift compared to Black Christmas. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. We have another one. We are in day three of NLD's Christmas Slaycation, giving you movies that you may or may not want to check out this holiday season, if you just can't give up that Halloween spirit, we got you covered. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Ho, ho, holy shit.
Thank you for fucking listening to a fucking Christmas show. All of you dirty dreadheads, let somebody fucking know. All of the other podcasts, they can go and fuck right off. Otis and fucking SJ, the shit is really fucking boss. Plenty more good flicks to see, yeah, we'll cover those. Murders, geeks, and lots of shrieks, and all of Santa's ho ho hos and freaks. Thank you for fucking listening. We think you all are really cool. We mean nothing without you, 'cause horror fans fucking rule. Yeah, horror fans fucking rule. I said horror fans fucking rule. Fuck yeah.